Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Dawn Cherie Wilkerson.
Psalm 121, are you there? Awesome. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. This is what it says. I look up to the mountains and hills, longing for God's help. But then I realize that our true help and protection come only from the Lord, our Creator, who made the heavens and the earth. He will guard and guide me, never letting me stumble or fall. You're never going to let me down. God is my keeper. He will never forget nor ignore me. He will never slumber nor sleep. He is the guardian God for his people Israel. Jehovah himself will watch over you. He's always at your side to shelter you safely in his presence. He's protecting you from all danger, both day and night. He will keep you from every form of evil or calamity as he continually watches over you. You will be guarded by God himself. You will be safe when you leave your home, and safely you will return. He will protect you now, and he'll protect you forevermore. Now I want to take the next few moments to talk to you on this thought, eye to eye. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, I thank you for every single person in this house. Lord, I thank you that your presence is real. Lord, that your voice, it speaks today. And God, I thank you that we belong to you. Right now, we open up our hearts to you. Holy Spirit, come do what only you can do. We want you more than any other thing in life. We desire you, God. So encourage us, equip us today through your word and through your spirit. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, a lot has changed since the last time I stood on this stage. A lot. You know, last year I was preaching and we were doing VU Conference 2017, and I knew that I was pregnant, but you didn't know that I was pregnant. And I knew that a year later, that at VU Conf 2018, that I would have a little man with me, Wyatt Wesley Wilkerson. I'm crazy about this guy. He's 4 months old now, and I've never done this before, so every single week is like an adventure for me. It has been the steepest learning curve of my life. All the parents said, amen. You know, I have learned that when you're changing a diaper, you need to change it quickly to stay out of the line of fire. I've learned really quickly, you know, that it's not just a phrase or a saying, but I have indeed actually cried over spilled milk. I've learned that there is such a thing as the sleeping baby tiptoe, that there is nothing more important than keeping that baby asleep. I've learned so much, and yeah, he's learning a lot, but I think I'm learning way more. And every single day as he grows, we learn together. I'll never forget the first week we brought him home from the hospital. And, you know, he barely opened up his eyes. I thought, am I ever going to be able to look into this guy's eyes? He just sleeps all the time. And all the pro parents said, just enjoy that. Just soak that in. Just take that in for a minute. But I'll never forget when he started to open up his eyes more, and I would just stare at his eyes. I would just stare as long as he would let me. We would make eye contact. And I remember the nurse telling me in the hospital, Miss Wilkerson, you have to understand that your son, Wyatt, he can only see 8 inches in front of him. He can't see any further than that. And isn't it amazing that God, in his perfect creativity, when he created a baby that would feed from his mother, that as I feed Wyatt, it's exactly that distance, so that as he's nurtured, he doesn't have to be afraid. He can look into my eyes and he can see my face. We are eye to I. And I go and I pick him up. And I feed him and I hold him and I love him and I sing to him. And he's able to see me. We're eye to eye. Can I tell you that when God came to us, he did not decide to send a Savior as a cloud. He did not decide to send the Savior as this majestic being, as an angel. Instead, he sent his one and only Son, clothed in humanity, all God, all man, that he would walk where we walked, that he would reach out hands just like we have hands, so that Almighty God would not be above or below, but could look eye to eye with you. So God came to us. Come on, are you thankful today? You have a Savior who comes eye to eye with you so that you can see him, so that you can know him, so that you can understand who you are in him. So God came to us. So the first thing we've got to realize is that God comes to where you are. Maybe today you're in a season that you are so confused. You walk through these doors saying, God, you got to speak to me because I don't know what the next step is and I don't even know where I am. You know, I love South Beach because South Beach brings up a lot of memories for me of when I first moved to Miami. I love the Fillmore, and actually I'm really sad and excited at the same time that we're moving to a larger venue. God has way more. We need to move forward. But how many of you know we've had some great memories here? It's been awesome. But VooConf 2019 is gonna be the best. Yeah, is anybody ready for the Watsco Arena? You need to get signed up today. But South Beach holds a lot of memories for me because 11 years ago I moved here and I didn't know anything about this city. I moved here and I was getting to know it, but I was also working. And as Rich and I worked at church, I was working as the marketing director. And you know, I had put in an order for postcards and the order was placed. The order was ready to be picked up. And so of course I needed to go pick up the order. So I borrowed the truck from my brother-in-law and I said, no big deal. I'm gonna drive to South Beach. It was my first time to ever drive to South Beach alone. And I get in the car and I start driving. I get there, I get the dolly, I load up all the boxes, I put them in the truck, and I'm about to head home when all of a sudden I look at the gas tank, and what my brother-in-law forgot to tell me and what I failed to even notice is that I was completely on empty. And as I begin to drive, I begin to get nervous. And as I got nervous, I begin to try to find a way to a gas station. Before I knew it, I was completely lost in the middle of South Beach, which for this Louisiana girl actually presented a really big problem. And so it actually happened. The car actually died. It was August, people. And I was in a neighborhood that I did not know, and I was terrified. So I'm keeping the windows up. I've locked myself in the car, and I'm about to die if I'm not rescued. And I decided to pick up the phone, and I call my friend David, who works on South Beach. And I said, David, I am so lost, and I'm out of gas, and I'm in South Beach. And he said, don't worry, I'm here on South Beach. I'm in a lunch date with someone. He said, where are you? And I said, I don't know where I am. He said, well, start to describe what's around you. And I said, okay, there's this white building. There are these really weird windows, all these shapes. He said, I know exactly where you are. Stay right where you are. I said, I will. I'll be here. He came. He picked me up. Everything was okay. But I want to remind you today that when it comes to our God, our God doesn't need any hints as to where you stand. Our God doesn't need you to describe the pit you are in. Our God doesn't need you to elaborate on what street or season of life that you stand in. All you need to do today is speak the name of Jesus, and he knows right where you are, and he comes to you. He doesn't have to search for you. He has his eye on you. And he comes to you eye to eye. Isn't this what we read in the scriptures? That throughout the New Testament, we read of Jesus coming eye to eye with woman after woman, man after man, as if to say, I know exactly where you are. Look me in the eyes and let me tell you who you truly are. He did it with the woman with the issue of blood. This was a woman who had struggled with her health for years. She was in a place, hear me, this isn't just a story of a woman who is dealing with sickness. This is a woman who is facing futility. She was in a season where it seemed like it would never end, that her life would always be like this. Have you ever been in a season where you think this will never end? I'm never gonna get past this. I might as well give up. But Jesus came to her eye to eye, and he healed her, and he gave her a path and a purpose. Are you in a place of futility today? Because God comes to where you are. What about Peter? Peter is fishing. He's in a place where it's, hey, this is the way my life is, and this is the way it always will be. If you were to ask Peter, hey, what is the future for your life? He would look at you and say, are you kidding me? Generation after generation in my family, we've been fishermen. So I'm gonna be a fisherman. There's no job fair around here. This is who I am. This is my identity. This is what my children will do, what my children's children will do. And Jesus walks up to Peter and he rips the lid off of his life. In one conversation, he looks at him and says, you don't know who you are, but I do. You're a fisher of men. And maybe today you're in a continual cycle, reading the labels that people have placed on your life. You may not know who you are, but God does. And he comes to where you are. Come on, if you believe it today, give God a shout of praise. Jesus, he comes eye to eye with the woman at the well. This is a woman who is dealing with shame. She was ashamed of her life. She was ashamed of her story. And if you've ever dealt with shame, shame will make you hide from the people that love you. Shame will make you run from the purpose before you. Shame will make you shut the doors that God opens. And here she is hiding, trying to fill her jar in midday so that no one sees her. And Jesus comes eye to eye with her. And he doesn't shame her, he places value on her. He speaks to her in a metaphor that was the most powerful metaphor of her day. He speaks to the living water that he is. And he says, as if to say, if you will surrender your life to me, your dehydrated soul will never thirst again. I come to where you are. I know where you are. I see you. And I'm able to do that which you cannot do. What about the disciples? These are his closest friends. I mean, this is like his crew. And Jesus comes to them eye to eye. The Bible tells us they're in the middle of a storm. They're on a boat. It's nighttime. I can't imagine how terrifying it was for them as the boat was pushed side to side by the wind and by the rain. And the Bible says that Jesus walks on the water to them. He just comes straight to where they are. Are you in a storm today? Do you feel like you're in the darkness? You don't even know where the attacks are coming from? I want to encourage you, God comes to where you are. Maybe today you're being tormented by the enemy. We read of Jesus having an encounter in a graveyard, that there was a man who is afflicted by the darkness, that he was demon-possessed, that his mental anguish was something that maybe today you can relate to. But Jesus comes eye to eye with this man. This man who had been living in a graveyard. He was surrounded by tombstones. And maybe today you're surrounded by tombstones. The death of your dreams. The death of your peace. The death of your purpose. But let me tell you, Jesus will walk into the graveyard. And when he walks in, that which was dead suddenly comes to life. We serve a God who comes to where you are. Come on. If you believe it, if you believe it today, give God a shout of praise. He comes to where you are. Our God is not intimidated by where you stand. He's not guessing where you are. He came to find you, and he came eye to eye. He could have come to a palace. He came to a stable. He could have come as a king. He came to a 16-year-old virgin. He chose to come to where we are. Will you awaken that he comes for you? That he loves you? So God came to us, so God comes to you. Put your name there. He adores you. Just like every one of these men and women that he encountered in the Bible, he's waiting for an encounter with you. He's waiting to come to where you are. You see, Jesus, he comes to where you are, but he also comes as who you need. He comes as who you need. Communication is a difficult thing, isn't it? It gets really tricky. Communication, whether it's politically, organizationally, relationally, it's very tricky, isn't it? I've been married to Rich for almost 12 years. We've been together for 16 years. And even after all this time, there's really no way for us to be fully known to each other. It's what we seek. We seek to know each other. We seek to continually grow together. But there is no way, if we tried, that either one of us could communicate the true depths and far reaches of our soul. Only God knows where we stand. Only God knows what we need. But when it comes to my marriage, I can tell you, I do try to guess where Rich is at and what he needs. There's a big joke in our house, and I'm just gonna fess up to it right now. I am a habitual interrupter. And anyone who works with me would know this to be true. But the person who knows it the most is my patient husband. Because I think that I know what he needs when he's speaking. And it's not because I'm trying to control the situation or that I'm trying to dominate the conversation. It's just that I'm trying to help. So it's gotten to the point where it is an absolute joke in our home. There were points of contention, but we've worked it out. Now we just laugh, and sometimes I send voice memos to my family to tell them how far off I was this time. We'll be at dinner, and Rich will say, you know, I'm thinking, and if there's a 2-second pause, I'm getting in there. Yeah, babe, I'm thinking that too. Saturday, we need to move that appointment, and I'm with you, absolutely. I'm thinking that I want to order the enchiladas. I try so hard to know what he needs. And now I try it with my son. I mean, Wyatt, I'm getting to know this guy. I'm trying to figure out what he needs. Guys, I'm a great mother. I'm kidding. I've tried to decipher his cries. And I can tell you that he has 3 different cries. He has a I'm sleepy cry, he has a I'm hungry cry, and he has a change my diaper cry. And his sleepy cry, well, actually his hungry cry is the funniest to me. He does this thing where he's like grunting. It's a low guttural grunt. It's like, And then like his sleepy cry is like, he's gonna stick his bottom lip out big time. And you got 2 seconds to figure out a solution because then the screaming is on. I mean, it's at the top of his lungs, bottom lip out, I'm screaming. And there will be tears. And it will sound like the most awful, sad sound you've ever heard in your life. The third one, when his diaper's dirty, that's just like a shout. Like, are you crazy, Mom? Do you not see me here? Do you expect me to walk myself to the changing table? I need your legs. I need your hands. But I gotta be honest, lately there have been some new cries. I have no idea what they mean. I have absolutely no idea what Wyatt is trying to say to me. But I want to encourage you today. God doesn't just show up to where you are and complacently watch you try to figure out what to do. He doesn't just show up and stand on the sidelines of your life and cheer you on or encourage you. Your God shows up to where you are and he knows exactly what you need. He's not just the encourager. He is the empowerer. He is the sustainer. He is the provider. He will give you whatever you need when you need it. Come on, has anybody had an opportunity to witness our God and how he knows exactly what you need? He knows what you need and he knows when you need it. And he is right on time. He is not late. He knows what you need. But you know what I think the real problem is? I think that oftentimes what we want is not what we need. I think that oftentimes we walk into a room like this and we want somebody to stand up on the stage and prophetically speak over us and tell us everything that we need to know when really what we need is to pray alone in our room. I think that sometimes we want God to show us what the next 5 years of our life looks like when really what we need is just to open up our Bible today. Just to read for today. To understand that he's just what we need today. He's just what we need for this minute. He's just what we need for this hour. He's just what we need to get through this meeting at work, to get through this conversation with our spouse, to get through this opportunity with a relationship. God knows just what you need and when you need it. Sometimes what we want is a new relationship, but what we need is for God to heal our heart and make us whole, for our identity to be secure in him. Sometimes what we want is a new job when really what we need is a new attitude, a new perspective, a new outlook, a new vision of what God could do if we would just lean in and allow his spirit to lead and guide. Come on, do you believe it today? Give God a shout in this house. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. God came to us as what we need. He knew that not only did the price of sin need to be paid, but that we needed an example, a human example, a real example of what it looks like to have the love of our Heavenly Father flow through us in the here and now on this earth. And that's why he gave us Jesus. So that we would know that just as the love of the Father flowed through him, that it can flow through you today. That in your everyday moments, God can turn them extraordinary. If you'll open up your eyes and your heart, he's eye to eye. He's waiting to show you. He's waiting for you to see him. You see, as we read the Bible, the way that our God is described, It's not described in ways that we can't understand. It's anthropomorphic language. You know what that language is? Theologians would tell us that's language that describes that which is not human as human so that humanity can grasp and understand. And as you read your Bible, you will understand that God has made a way. He has gone to great lengths to describe himself in anthropomorphic language so that you can understand with your human mind that he created just who our God is. So you read the Bible and we read terms that we actually understand. That our God, he's described as the day. He's described as a torch. He's described as a lion. He's described with human emotions. That he is smelling, that he is tasting, that he is sitting, that he is rising, that he is walking, that he is running, that he is remembering. But then we actually get to the names of God. And hear me, the names of God are not just to be put up on a wall and revered. No, God chose his names so that you could understand who he is and how he is able to meet every need in your life. The very many names of God, they all meet needs in your life. And God describes himself in detail, not in completeness, because we could never fully grasp all that he is, but he gives us name after name of who he is, as if to say, you got a need? Oh, it's not what I do. It's who I am. I am Abba Father. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the vine. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Nissi. I am Jehovah Jireh. What's your need today? I'm here. I see you. And I come to you eye to eye. Eye to eye. Eye to eye. Oh, his names, they're pathways to his heart. His names describe who he is. And how he meets every need that is deep within your soul. Even the things that you can't even verbalize today. He can meet you where you are, and he knows what you need. After all, what would be the point of all those names? What would be the point of all those names if he didn't know there was a need? Oh, healer? What would be the point if there weren't people in this room that desperately needed a touch from God? Provider? What would be the point unless there were people in this room dealing with lack, dealing with insecurity and insufficiencies? Good Shepherd, what would be the point unless there were people in this room praying and crying out for direction and guidance and protection from Almighty God? Light of the world, what would be the point unless there were people lost and alone in the darkness? Savior, what would be the point unless all of us were lost and dead in our sins, crying out for a mediator who would remove the rod, who would remove the fear, who would give us a voice? Oh, we've got a Savior today. That's his name. That's who he is. We serve a God who isn't seeking to confuse you, but seeking to come to you eye to eye so you'll wake up, so you'll realize you can't wallow in the past any longer. We don't have time for that. He loves you way too much for you to be looking over your shoulder. He has called you to look into his eyes for you to see who you are in him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved. You find refuge in his name. You find peace in his name. You find strength in his name. Not in your name, not in your reputation, not in your accolades, but in who he is. Because he's eternal. and who he is speaks to everything that you were created to be. See, these names are just a glimpse. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author and he's the finisher. But aren't you thankful that he took the time in every single line of the Word of God to just show us exactly who he is and to what lengths he would go to come to us and to meet every single one of our needs? But my question to you today is, can you see him? Because, yeah, he can come to where you are. He's able to meet you and to give you exactly what you need, but can you actually see him? You know, when Jesus walked on the earth, he was recognized time and time again as the Savior. In one moment, a man or a woman who had just looked at him as a good teacher would suddenly realize he's so much more than that. Even in the womb, in his mother's womb, his family member Elizabeth. Mary walks into her house to see her family member Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, immediately filled with the power of God, recognizes that the Savior of the world is within Mary's womb. She recognized, she saw him. John the Baptist is a cousin of Jesus. They were cousins. They grew up together. They're just a few months apart. Oh, man, and there's John the Baptist preaching out in the wilderness, and Jesus might have come to see his cousin a million times before that, but somehow that day, John the Baptist is in the Jordan River baptizing, and this time it's different. Jesus walks, and his feet touch the water, and he keeps walking. And John the Baptist looks at his cousin. It's not his cousin anymore. It's the Savior of the world, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." You read time and time again that the disciples, they came to a moment where they realized, I'm not just following a man, I'm following God himself. I'm following the one that's been prophesied about, the one that we've waited on, the one that we've talked about. But have you seen him? Have you actually seen him for yourself? Because he seeks to come eye to eye with you. You know, the law was justice. It was an eye for an eye. But because of grace, we now are able to come eye to eye with Jesus. I told you earlier that the first week of Wyatt's life, huge learning curve. I'm just in it right now. But the first week was life-changing for us. I came home, I brought Wyatt home, and he was getting accustomed to the house. We were getting accustomed to him being in the house. And to be honest, the first 5-6 days, I didn't even really leave my bedroom. I was feeding him. I was trying to sleep when I could. And probably around day 6, I said to my dad, I got to get out of the house. I got to take a walk. I'm going to walk around the neighborhood. And he said, well, it's kind of getting dark outside. I'm going to come walk with you. The sun was beginning to set. So my dad and I, we started to walk around the neighborhood. And as we began to walk around the neighborhood, we began to talk. But then all of a sudden, as I walked, I was looking at the open sky, and I was just so thankful there wasn't this ceiling above me. And I was looking at the sky, and I was thanking God, and I was going, God, this is refreshing. This is really just what I needed right now. And as I was thinking that in my heart, it was as if the Holy Spirit said to me, yeah, Wyatt can only see 8 inches. And you can only see this sky above you. But Don Cherie, there's so much more. And the truth is today, I don't know what you see, but in that moment, my heart came alive because I began to realize, you know what, Wyatt could only see 8 inches, but his limitation did not change the reality that there was more. His limitation did not change that there was a whole world around him that he simply could not see. And who am I to think that in my finite 33 years that I have seen everything? Let me tell you, there is so much more. There is more than you can see. There is more than what is right in front of you. Do you believe it today? All over this house, stand up to your feet, because I want to share something with you. The truth is in life is that oftentimes we can feel like we're in those 8 inches. We can feel like we can't get past this season, that we are limited and we feel like there's more, but we just can't see it. I can tell you in our journey, 8 years of believing for a baby, 8 years of not seeing more, 8 years of hoping and wishing and praying that our eyes would see that which we had not seen, that God would reveal that there was more. But I want to encourage you today that even when we were in the middle of 8 inches for 8 years, that even in the 8 inches, I could see the face of God eye to eye. He never left me. He never was quiet. He never forgot me. He never turned his back on me. But he met me where I was. And he'll do the same for you. He comes to where you are.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.